It is a blessing to be here, and I hope that that is your view, that it's a blessing to be here. I think maybe some people might think that folks that come to a second service, evening service, are giving up something. You know, that we're the ones giving up something, when in reality, those who don't gather with the saints, they're the ones giving up something. And it's a great blessing to be here with God's people in His presence. There's not a better place in the world to be, so be mindful of that and be thankful for the opportunity to be here, and pray for and encourage those who aren't, so we may edify them and encourage them to be a part of this assembly. I want to thank our welcome visitors again. I don't know if there's visitors among us. I'm still learning faces, but we're thankful that you're here. I pray that we are an encouragement to you. Now, we're going to start our sermon series on the book of James this evening. And, of course, it's going with our theme for the year of Impact 2022. We're talking about, for these first 4 months, about making an impact in here first. We're going to look at how we make an impact in our own faith. And then next, we're going to talk about making an impact in the faith in the lives of others. And then making an impact for God. So we're going to look in, look out, and then look up this year with our theme. So probably the next, I haven't fully decided, five, probably six next evening lessons, we're going to be in the book of James. And then after that, we're going to go into the book of Acts. We're going to do a sermon series through the book of Acts. And so I want you to think about the book of James here. If you were in our Bible class Wednesday, we talked about it. And we talked about how it fit into the grand narrative of the Bible, and it's written to Christians, for Christians, on how we live out our redemption. And a good way to look at the book is it's the book of continuance. God has given us this book to help us continue in our faith. So James is a wonderful book. It's helping us to be faithful, remain faithful, and in a sense, I think it's doing a lot to help those with a dead faith to go back if they're willing to look at what happened, right? If they're honest, you know, why did my faith die? Why is my faith dying? Well, the book of James is going to help with that. And so here we are in the book of James. I want you to think about a few things here as we get started. State Farm Insurance, a few years back, rated the most dangerous intersection for accidents in America, and the winner, or I guess loser, was the corner of Beltline Road and Midway Road in Addison, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. So there were 263 reported crashes at that intersection. So that's about five wrecks a week, and this is not including fender benders. Right, so you have this very dangerous intersection. Now, if you were aware of this, the danger of this intersection, and you lived there, would you not pay a little bit more attention when you got to that intersection? Would you not be just a little more aware of your surroundings, maybe slow it down a little bit, if you knew this about this intersection? See, the thing about it is, you know, sometimes we're driving down the road of life, if you will, and we come to these intersections in our lives, and sometimes we don't know what to do, right? Do we go straight? Do we turn left? Do we turn right? Do we stop? Do we turn around? Right? And we've got a decision to make, and we know we got to make a decision. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Now, maybe you feel like that's where you are today. You know, perhaps you feel like you're at one of those dangerous intersections in your life right now, and you don't know what to do. You know, you try to figure it out. You know, what do I do? You know, what is it that God would have me to do? And you don't know what to do. We come here to the book of James, and here we find a divine resource that we can utilize to help us know and understand, you know, what we can do when we come to these intersections in our lives. And it's called wisdom, by the way. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And you think about, you know, wisdom, it's a good thing. The problem is, usually human wisdom comes with age and experience, doesn't it? Right? You made a whole lot of mistakes in the past, and you learn from that, right? Or you saw other people make mistakes, and they're letting you learn from that. You know, and the problem is, you know, sometimes we need wisdom, and we don't want to have to wait by making mistakes and learning with age and experience. You know, we don't want to have to wait for all of that so we can have the right wisdom to know what to do in certain situations. So there has to be an alternative to human wisdom. And James is saying, here it is. So I want you to look at our text here in James, the first chapter. And I want you here to look at verse 2. And I got to get used to this clicker here, so bear with me. It's a little bit different than what I'm used to. Look at verse 2 here, James, the first chapter, part of the scripture reading earlier. And I love it that you do a scripture reading for the second service. I love that, by the way. Consider it all joy, my brethren, you see he's talking to Christians, when you encounter various trials. Now, how can he say this? Why? Well, it's because he's saying here, you can see past the trial. You can look through the trial. You can look beyond that trial. Right? The proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. And he's saying here, you know, the testing of your faith is going to produce something, if you will allow it to produce what God wants it to produce. It has a design to it, and that is to bring you to some sort of maturity or completion. And some of your translations will render that word as maturity or complete. Bringing you to the point where here, look at the end of verse 4, if you have your Bibles open. You are not lacking anything. I don't want to lack anything. You know, when it comes to facing trials in my life, trials that I encounter, you know, these difficult things in my life, these afflictions that come my way, or even a big choice. I don't want to be lacking anything when I face these things. You know, and sometimes we don't understand the cause of the trial or the purpose of the trial, and we struggle with that. And it's at that point, usually, we begin to feel an acute shortage of wisdom, right? So think about what James is saying here. And he goes on, really, he's saying that there's good news in this, really. He's saying we got a pattern to follow. No matter the situation you're facing, this pattern, this standard here given, applies to all and any forks in the road or intersections, if you continue with that illustration there. You know, whether it's a moral choice, whether it's a temptation, whether it's a relationship issue, you know, with a spouse or the family, whether it's a financial issue, whatever it is. He's saying we have a divine resource here. I think I'm off here in my slides, so bear with me. I want you to read with me. Can I go back on this? Yeah, there we go. I want you to read with me verse 3 one more time. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And so here we have a God-given pattern to follow. We're given God's wisdom on what to do. And if we allow it, it's going to produce something. You know, I don't want to be lacking anything, so I follow the pattern that's given to me. You know, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, let me stop for just a moment here and let you know that word perfect, I'm reading out of the New King James here. You're going to hear me from this point on say it 1,000 times. Because I think this rendering here that a lot of translations render into English perfect, one of the biggest misunderstandings in Scripture. All the Bible studies I've done, all the counseling, all the talking with brethren that are struggling, I think it comes back to a misunderstanding of certain words, and this is one of them. In our language, when we see the word perfect, we think flawless, right? You know, something's perfect. It's a 10 out of 10. That is not what this word means. Now, if this word is used in reference to the Lord, absolutely it's perfect. But when it's talking to Christians, about our faith, that's not what this word means. It means, like in our scripture reading earlier, mature. And it means, if you want to get a little bit deeper, the Greek word teleos, it means growing in God's design direction. God has a direction that he's designed for us. And so when we go in that direction, we're going to be mature. We're going to be complete. And that's what this word means. So he's talking about your faith maturing. These trials are meant to mature your faith. And so here I want you to notice the word lacking also here in all of this. It's a connection between verses 4 and 5. Look at that in your Bible. And what we see here in the language of the New Testament, we see it connecting, a connecting word with verse 5. King James, New King James, start with an if there. New American Standard says but. But it's a connecting verse to verses 2, 3, and 4. Right? But, then we have, or if, verse 5. And, you know, this is what God wants us working on. But, verse 5, if you lack wisdom to accomplish this, here it is, then ask God. Now, that's a big statement right there. Think about it. I want you to think about how all of this works here. You know, so I'm going down the road in my life, and I encounter a trial. And I know in the context as you go here, to talk about temptation. But I'm going down the road and in my life, and I come to this trial, this temptation, this situation. I'm in the midst of one of those trials. You know, that's when I need wisdom the most, right? And again, if you look at the text here, and I don't think that this is the after effect, the completeness or perfect result that he's mentioned here. Rather, that's what you get when you complete this trial. You stay where you're at. Let me read this to you over here in 1 Peter chapter 1. I think this helps us understand a little better in a little different light. Chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and the glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That trial, that fire, those various trials, you know, it's purifying us, getting us to go in God's design direction so that we will be more complete, more mature on the other side of the trial. It's there to help us in our faith. But in the midst of that, you know, when trouble is really thickening and we really need a wisdom, ask. He's saying what you need to do is you need to ask. And in a way here, this almost sounds strange if you think about this. Really think about this. Shouldn't it be obvious, you know, obvious to the Christian if you lack wisdom to ask God? Shouldn't that be obvious? You would think, you know, why is he even talking about this? Isn't it certain, isn't it obvious that when a Christian needs wisdom that they're just going to ask God? That should be what we do, right? Right, I'm facing this dilemma. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know what to do. Well, I need to go to God. You know, I'm facing this trial in my spiritual life, in my family life, in my marriage, and medical illness, whatever it is. Shouldn't it be obvious that I need to go to God and ask? Isn't it obvious that that's what the Christian should do? Whatever the situation is, shouldn't it be obvious that's what we do? Go to God in the first place and ask. So why does James here, why does he have to say this at the opening of the book if it's that obvious? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, I think I know at least part of the answer. That is to a certain extent here. As I'm reading this, I think I know at least part of that. You know, many of us think either we don't need God, or maybe God wouldn't help in this situation. I think maybe that's part of the problem. Or sometimes we just forget God. Right? I've got this issue, this trial, this problem at this dangerous intersection of my life. The obvious thing is I should ask God, but I think, you know, maybe he's busy. Maybe he doesn't care, right? Now, maybe God, you know, this is so small in his eyes, you know, he probably wouldn't even mess with it. I think we're all guilty of that to a degree. You know, God doesn't understand it. You know, I can handle this on my own. Now, that's human wisdom. That's the problem. You know, we're thinking, you know, I need to figure this out myself. You know, hey, I read that self-help book my sister-in-law gave me. You know, I read Chicken Soup for the Soul. That gave me enough to wisdom there to handle any problem. I don't really need God in this. Can you see the problem there, the human wisdom? Why James has to bring this out here? You know, this is not saying that doing a pros and cons list is a bad thing, you know, but maybe there's this big decision and, you know, well, I'm going to write down the pros and the cons, how to handle this here, and whatever my whatever I come up with, that's going to be the answer. There's nothing wrong with that, but did you go to God first? You see, the thing about it is, when you look at what James is saying here, he tries to say to the Christian, ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Look what he says in verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. In another word, there is generously. And he gives wisdom liberally without reproach. God wants to give you wisdom. That is a desire that God has. I don't know if you've thought about that, that God has a desire to give you wisdom, to impart spiritual wisdom from above. That's a desire that God has. You know, he wants to put wisdom into your life, and then the Christian has to determine whether or not they're going to ask for help. You know, I think that's one of the hardest things for us as adults, if we're being honest, one of the hardest things is for us to say, hey, I need help. You know, I need help, whether it's from a family member, a church member. Right? That's hard for us as adults to say, I need help. And we struggle with that, and you know, maybe we think it's demeaning. Maybe we think it's humiliating to ask for help. I think that's what keeps a lot of brethren from coming forward and repenting. Right? Not that they don't know they should do that, but I think they think, you know, it's embarrassing to ask for help. Same thing with wisdom. You know, maybe we think if we ask for help from God, we're admitting that we're not good enough. Right? We're admitting that someone's better than us. And so we struggle with that. I think that's a struggle here that James is pointing out. We lack wisdom. We need help, especially at critical intersections of our lives. That's when we need it the most. That's when we should be asking the most. And God wants to impart that spiritual wisdom to us. So the question becomes, am I willing to ask? Now, Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Jeremiah chapter 10, beginning verse 23. I know I had those on here somewhere. There we go. Look at this passage right here. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in a man who walks to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct me, but with justice, not in your anger, lest you bring me to nothing. Now, do you believe what we just read? You want wisdom? Ask. You want to hear God? Then, next here, you need to take time and listen. It's one thing to ask. It's a whole other thing to then listen. It's time to listen. Now, most of us here would probably agree that listening isn't one of our greatest skills that we have, right? Women are better listeners than men. You know, sometimes someone may be talking to you. Now, you might be intellectually hearing that, but you're not listening. Right? Many times also someone's talking, we're already formulating our response in our mind to speak back, you know, to give a response without even really listening. And it's kind of the idea, you know, at home sometimes, you know, I might, if I'm watching Dallas Cowboys playing football, I'm not going to hear you. I'll hear you, but I'm not listening. Now, if you want something, you got to get over there and say, hey, you know, pay attention. I'm telling you something. Now, there's times the girls have been talking to me. I heard them, but I'm not listening, right? So there's a difference. We need to listen. And so now if I'm going to ask God for wisdom, the very next step needs to be to listen here. And so when we think about what James is telling us here, all right, I ask God for wisdom. I need to listen. Now what's the problem? Well, what's the next problem really he addresses? Now, I'm sure we all get a little bit frustrated. You know, all right, I see what it says in the Bible. I know what the preacher says. I need to ask God for wisdom. I get it. I'm going to do that. And you do it. And then next thing you know, you're like, God, where are you? You know, I asked for this wisdom 15 minutes ago. You know, we want God to work in our timeline. And we say we want wisdom. We say we'll listen. But by the time we get in our car, in the parking lot, and God hasn't handled the situation, we're like, well, you know, he must be busy. I guess I'll take care of this problem on my own. And so we struggle. You know, we get to that dangerous intersection. You know, God, tell me what to do. Right now, I need to know. Do I turn left, turn right, go straight, turn? You know, God, let me know. I need to know right now. And when God doesn't respond in the manner that we want him to respond, we stop listening many times. And so, you know, what James is really pointing out here, I think is it's critical. It's absolutely important that we understand. Not only do we ask God, but we need to listen, right? And so James here, he comes back to me in almost a verbal way, like he's grabbing us by the shirt collar and he's shaking us, saying, I really want you to pay attention here. This is critical, Sean. Pay attention. Look at your Bible here. And he says this in verse 6. But he must ask in faith without doubting. You see that right there in your Bible? You know, do we really understand how hard that is? James is asking us really for total surrender to God. Right? Total and absolute trust in God in essence to give up. Wasn't that what Paul was basically saying in Galatians 2 and verse 20? No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, right? We're being told here that when we come before God to say, I can't do it alone, I need help, to mean it and listen. You know, to say what we read in our Bibles and sing in many of our songs, you know, I'm sure that you sing songs here about, you know, creating me a new heart, right? Those are verses from songs surely you sing here. You know, put my feet on solid ground or take my hand, Lord, and lead me on, right? When we sing words like that, do we mean it? You know, we need help and we need guidance from above and that firm reliance upon God. It is not in us to direct our own path. For he who doubts, look at verse 6 again, is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So a challenge for us this week, every day, you know, morning, noon, and night minimum, you know, go to God in prayer and ask him for wisdom. And at the end of the day, thank him for the wisdom that he did impart to you. You know, do that this week. Make it your goal that every day, as much as you can, ask God for wisdom, but then listen. And then thank him for the wisdom that he's given. Right, and he's given us many tools that we need to listen to. Of course, His Word is guiding Word. Are you listening? You're never going to hear what God has to tell you if you don't open it up and read it. Are we listening? He's given us the guidance and the wisdom of faithful Christians. Right? Are we willing to listen? How about in prayer and meditation? You know, are we willing to listen? Are we listening? And don't get upset when God's timing isn't our timing. And you know, you're not God, so maybe learning to be humble, that might be what you need to do. But we got to listen. We absolutely have to listen here. Start each day seeking wisdom. End your day asking for wisdom and thanking God for the wisdom that He gave you. Now, as we begin to finish up here and wind down, understand here this doubt that he's talking about, James. I want you to think about this. Look at that word doubt. Now James here, I don't believe he's referring to intellectual doubt. He's not saying that you doubt the existence of God. That's not the doubt that he's talking about. When you look at everything here in the context, it's not doubting the existence of God or even his ability to answer prayer. What's he doing here? This doubt here, I believe he's talking about divided loyalties. Right? He's talking about the indecisive Christian who cannot decide from one trial to the next what? Well, whether he or she is really going to trust in the Lord and follow his wisdom. To ask for wisdom, to listen for the wisdom. Apply the wisdom. You know, wisdom's the application of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2, I encourage you as homework to read that this evening. It's that on-again, off-again Christian here. He's saying they shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. You know, this is not the type of person who really wants the wisdom that God is offering. That's the doubt that he's referring to here. James calls this person here double-minded, torn between two directions. You know, your direction and God's direction, being double-minded. And he uses that reference, I think King James, I haven't looked at that in a little while, you know, being tossed to and fro, you know, by waves. It's that idea, that illustration there. He's talking about the indecisive Christian. That's not going to make a decision. You know, they're keep going back and forth, trusting self, trusting God. James calls this person double-minded. And again, like we mentioned this morning, you know, I believe you can know the truth and the truth will set you free. John 8 and verse 32. That's a promise that Jesus gave. And if Jesus promised that, you can take it to the bank. You can find truth, you can know truth, and that truth will set you free. You know, I don't think living the Christian life is complicated. Now, it's difficult, yes, but I don't think it's complicated. I think men, in our human wisdom, we overcomplicate it. You see, you don't have to be like a wave that's tossed by the wind. You can stand firm knowing God's good and perfect will. If you're willing to ask, and if you're willing to listen. You know, several years ago, and I don't know if it's still a show that's on, but I used to really enjoy it when it first came out, I guess, about 20 years ago. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, right? Anyone ever watch that show? You know, I really enjoyed that show. And if you don't know anything about the show, you have the contestant, of course, you know, and he's answering trivia questions. And he gets three lifelines. You know, if he doesn't know the answer, he can phone a friend, you know, call a friend, get advice, what do you think? Well, then he can ask the audience, polls the audience, you know, what do they think? And also you can remove one of the wrong answers. But the problem is sometimes in that, because that contestant has to make a final decision, right? And they hear those words, is that your final answer? The problem is sometimes your friends are wrong. Many times the audience is wrong, and sometimes removing the wrong answer still makes it pretty difficult between the right and the remaining wrong answer. I want you to think about the fact that, you know, today you have a lifeline that will always give you the right answer. Always. You have a source that loves you beyond your comprehension. You have a source that puts great value in your success and wants you to succeed. And of course, that's Jesus. He knows the right path for you, God's path for you. It might lead you through some trials, absolutely. But you don't have to be lacking wisdom in that. God is there for you, and He desires to help you to impart spiritual wisdom. This evening, if you're subject to the gospel invitation, in a moment we're going to sing an invitation song. Where do you stand with God right now? Be honest. Listen, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Listen, judgment is real, judgment is coming. Listen, this may be your last chance. Understand, if you come forward to obey the gospel or to repent, if you need to, that will love you with the love of God. Right? We're not going to judge you. We're not going to find fault with you. To be honest, we probably need to be up there with you more often than not. Don't be scared. Let the love of God, let us reflect the love of God to you in that decision. So, do you need to obey the gospel, put on Christ in baptism? That is available, that option. Let's talk about it. Let's study it. Let's pray about it. If you need to do that this evening, or if you need to repent in a public way, let's take care of that. You know, if it's a private matter between you and God, don't even listen to the rest of my words. Go to Him right now and take care of that. But if it's a public matter, bring it before the church. Let us love you as Christ loves you and do our best to support you in that reconciliation with God. So if you have a spiritual need this evening, please don't hesitate. Let someone know as we stand, as we sing.